This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou. Nō mai anō, welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau Oti Poti Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa Show. Ko ana aho, I'm the manager at CAB here in Dunedin. Citizens Advice Bureau helps you to know, understand and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand, how to resolve your issues, and our help and advice is free. And we help anyone about anything. And we really like to educate and empower people to have the confidence to take action themselves with our guidance. And importantly, we are independent of any government agency, and anything we talk about remains completely confidential. If you speak to us or come to us with an issue that you want resolved. And so tonight we're going to look at the Disputes Tribunal. Which is a small claims court, and basically it's a cheaper, quicker, and less formal way to deal with a dispute than going to court. There aren't any judges in the disputes tribunal, and you can't have a lawyer represent you. A trained referee hears about the dispute from all the parties involved, and then can make a binding order that can actually be enforced by the courts. The Disputes Tribunal deals with claims of $30,000 or less. So if your dispute involves a claim for more than $30,000, you can either apply to the District Court or actually still apply to the Disputes Tribunal, but you reduce your claim to $30,000. They're run by impartial referees who work with the people on both sides of the dispute to see if they can reach an agreement. If they cannot agree, the referee can make a decision about how to resolve the dispute, and in both cases, the decision is legally binding. So the decisions the referee can make are called orders, and they can decide things like someone must pay someone else a certain amount of money, or someone does not have to pay someone else money, or work must be done. Or an agreement must be changed or cancelled, or someone must hand over some goods to someone else, or actually the claim can in fact be dismissed. So the Disputes Tribunal can hear most disputes. However, and this is really important, they cannot help with cases where someone knows they should do something but refuses to. So, for example, they can't rule, you know, if someone agrees they owe you money, but they just don't pay it, the Disputes Tribunal can't hear that. And like I said, they can only help with claims up to $30,000. So, you know, for example, of the type of things they might hear would be, say, disagreements with your neighbours over boundary fences or shared driveways. Whether work you paid someone to do was done properly, for example, building work on your home, whether the goods you paid for were the actual goods you received, whether someone charged you a reasonable price for the goods or work they provided, or who is liable when your property goes missing while under repairs, whether you owe money to someone. Who is liable for the cost of repairing damage to property? For example, car damage in an accident. And also disputes about contracts and business agreements. What they cannot help with. So they can't settle disputes about rates, taxes, work and income benefits or ACC payments. Issues between an employer and employee. Parenting or care of children, relationship property, wills, ownership of land or intellectual property such as copyright. So yeah, one of the biggest areas of inquiry we actually get here at CAB is when there's issues or disputes in a rental situation. But just very important to clarify here that the dispute tribunal can only help with this dispute between flatmates. So they can't get involved in a dispute between a landlord and a tenant that is covered by the Residential Tenancy Act. So if you're not on a residential tenancy agreement and you're just like as a flatmate with a head tenant, then you can resolve or you can make your claim to the disputes tribunal if you can't resolve it by discussing it with the head tenant. And as I said again, the tenancy tribunal, so they will not deal with those flatmate disputes or a dispute with a homeowner and a boarder. They can be dealt with at the disputes tribunal. And just a written signed flat sharing agreement can help you at the disputes tribunal. So if you're ever not on a residential tenancy agreement and you're just a flatmate in a rental situation, it's still a really good idea to have a flat sharing agreement. And this, we've got them on our website and articles about what they should include and what they look like. So another example of something you might take to the disputes tribunal, say for example, you sold something to a workmate and on the understanding that he would pay you for it later, but now he says you gave it to him. So in that situation, you've actually made a verbal contract and verbal contracts do stand. And so they are obliged to pay you if they said they would. And so again, after discussing the situation with your workmate and that's not successful and it can't be resolved and the debt in dispute is under $30,000, you can apply to the disputes tribunal so they can make a judgment about whether the debt is valid. Again, they'll listen to evidence from both parties and can instruct the other party to pay you what is owed. But again, remember that the disputes tribunal are not able to help if there is no dispute over whether one of you owes the other, but simply refuses to pay it. That would have to be, you know, via making a claim at the district court. Another common scenario where you could use a disputes tribunal is, say, if both drivers in a car crash have no insurance. So if you've had a car accident, neither of you has car insurance, you and the other driver can try to agree on who is liable to pay for the cost of repairing the damage to the cars. But if you can't agree on who should pay or how much, either of you can make a claim at the disputes tribunal to settle the matter, and they can decide who should pay and how much. But they cannot help if one party agrees they should pay but refuses to or cannot afford to. You could also take a claim to the disputes tribunal if an insurance company sends you a bill for a crash that you were not liable for, and you have evidence to show this, which might be photos, police report, witnesses, etc. So how do you make a claim at the disputes tribunal? Well, you can apply using an online claim form, or you can download and complete a paper claim form and mail it to the Ministry of Justice. So before applying, you need to have your name, your address and phone number, and you need to know the respondent's name, address and phone number, and the respondent is the person or organisation you're complaining about. You need to have the details of any other parties involved, like if there's a second respondent. You need to have your insurance company's details if your insurance might cover your claim. You need to have details of the dispute and the amount you're claiming. And you need to be able to say what you've done to try to settle the dispute. And where your nearest district court is. If you're applying online, you obviously also have to have your credit card ready so that you can pay your online fees. And how much it costs depends on the amount you can claim. So it's $59. The application fee is $59 if the total amount of the claim is less than $2,000. It's $117 if the total amount of the claim is more than $2,000 but less than $5,000. Or it's $234 for the application fee if the total amount of the claim is between $5,000 and $30,000. And we have links on our we've got an article, How Do I Make a Claim at the Disputes Tribunal, and there's an online form link there. If you want to do it by paper, you can also download the claim form from that same article and then send the completed form to the address that's included in that article. It's basically the Ministry of Justice in Wellington. And if you are completing the printed form, you have to provide 3 copies of the form and any other documents. That's not necessary if you're doing it online. And again, if you need any assistance, there is actually a guide to filling in the form in that article. We can also help you with your application if you get stuck at any point with what you're being asked to do. But yeah, you'd still have to have all those things that we mentioned before that you need to have ready before you do it. So what about if there's no courthouse near where you live? So you can make a claim to the Disputes Tribunal even if you are a long way from the nearest courthouse. If it's 100 k's or more from where you live, you can ask to attend the hearing remotely, for example, by teleconference. This option is available whether you're making a claim or someone else is making a claim against you. The Disputes Tribunal will send you information about how to ask to attend by teleconference and when they send you the details of the hearing. So what about preparing for a Disputes Tribunal hearing? So, like, as we said, they're informal. There's no judge or jury. Instead, the hearing is run by a specially trained person. Again, they're called the referee. The hearing will usually be held in a small hearing room rather than a courtroom. You usually do not need to give evidence under oath. You don't need to dress formally. You can wear clothes you feel comfortable in. And as mentioned above, hearings do not necessarily have to be held in person. They can be held remotely. So whether you are the applicant or the person responding to someone else's application, you should prepare as much as you can for the hearing. You cannot have a lawyer attend the hearing with you, but you can get help from a lawyer with the paperwork and organising your arguments. So you've got to make sure all of the relevant information is submitted. You can add more information to your claim even after you submit the initial paperwork. You can actually email the tribunal and get them to attach the information to your file, or you just bring the information on the day. It's really important to practice your argument, write down all the main things you want to say and organise them in a clear and logical order to explain your side of the story. Sticking to the facts is always good. Bringing supporting documents. So, yeah, bring the evidence that might support your side of the dispute. For example, letters, invoices, receipts, screenshots, agreements or contracts, quotes, photographs, police reports. You can use your phone as evidence, but it's better to provide paper copies of things like messages and emails. If the outcome you want is for the other party to be ordered to pay money to your bank account, make sure you bring your bank account details as well. It's really important to include evidence to support any monetary claims you are making. For example, quotes, invoices, receipts, bank statements. That's also really important if you're disputing the amount claimed against you by the other party. You've also got to arrange for any witnesses to attend. So you ask any witnesses to be present at the hearing. But if a witness refuses to come to the hearing, the Disputes Tribunal can actually order them to attend. And also support people. So you can have a support person with you at the hearing. And so you can also arrange for that if you want to. And also, if English is not your first language, you can ask the Disputes Tribunal to arrange for an interpreter. So what happens during the hearing? Well, they're private, as we said. closed to the public and the media. You cannot have a lawyer represent you. And hearings, as we said, can be held using audiovisual services. But that's only if the referee actually is satisfied that it's appropriate to do so. So the people that attend the hearing are the applicant, so you, if that's the person who's made the claim, the respondent, so if you're defending a claim, you're called the respondent. The parties are obviously the applicant and the respondent or respondents. The referee is the person who runs the hearing, not judges, but their decisions are binding and they're usually legally qualified and they're usually chosen because they can make common sense decisions and help people to reach their own agreement. Witnesses are obviously people you can bring to give evidence, and it's up to you to ask any witnesses who can support your case to attend the hearing. But again, as I said, the tribunal can order them to if they refuse. And your support person may be there if you want one. And just remember, they're not allowed to speak or take part in the hearing unless asked to by the referee. Insurance companies may be allowed to speak in support of your claim because if it involves an insurance company, because you know the hearing obviously affects them. You'll still obviously be at the hearing. In rare cases, you may be able to bring a representative. That's someone who can make the case for you. For example, if you're under 18, or if you have a disability that stops you making your own case, but you have to get permission from the disputes tribunal before the hearing, and the representative cannot be a lawyer or have ever been a lawyer or an experienced advocate. Again, interpreters, if you find English difficult, you'll need an interpreter. You have to tell them as soon as possible and they can get you an independent interpreter for the hearing, which is free. So how the hearing runs, so usually at the start, there'll be introductions, the referee introduces everyone, they explain how the hearing will run. Both parties get to explain their side of the dispute. The applicant speaks first. When both parties have spoken, there is a discussion about the points that are in disagreement. Any witnesses would be called into the hearing room to give evidence. Both parties and the referee can question any witnesses. And then the referee tries to help you both agree on how to settle the dispute. If you reach an agreement and it's approved by the referee, it is binding and you must follow the agreement. If you can't agree, the referee makes a decision, and that decision may be given at the hearing or be posted to the parties later. If the referee needs more information, you may need to come back. And so sometimes the referee may need more information. Maybe there's just not enough information bought, or for whatever reason, they'll put off the hearing and you'll need to come back at another time. So what about if you live overseas? Can you use the disputes tribunal to resolve a dispute you have with someone in New Zealand? Yes, you can. So someone in New Zealand can make a claim to the disputes tribunal against someone overseas if New Zealand law applies to the claim. So if one party to the dispute is overseas, they will receive information about the hearing via email rather than in the post. If you're overseas, the hearing will be by teleconference. If either party is overseas, then the hearing must take place via phone or Microsoft Teams. If you can do it by Microsoft Teams, you won't have to pay for any costs related to this. But if you have to attend by the phone, you might be asked to pay for the cost of the call to where the hearing is held. Someone, a person or organisation in New Zealand can also make a claim to the disputes tribunal against a person or organisation overseas if the New Zealand law applies to them. But the disputes tribunal decisions made in New Zealand may not be recognised in other countries. So if they make a decision against an overseas party and the overseas party doesn't want to do what they're ordered to do, it might be difficult to enforce it. What about if you think the disputes tribunal didn't make the right decision? Well, depending on what the issue is, you may be able to apply for a rehearing, but you cannot apply for a rehearing or file an appeal just because you didn't like the decision. You can only apply for a rehearing if you think something prevented the right decision from being made, like you did not receive the letter advising you of the date, or your witness couldn't come for some reason. There has to be a good reason. Or the referee made an error about how much money you have to pay, or you reached a settlement at the hearing, but afterwards you discovered facts that would have influenced the decision. And you have to do apply for a rehearing within 20 days. You can again do it online or printed form. The cost to appeal an actual decision. If you want to appeal against a dispute tribunal decision, you must apply to the district court and it will cost $260. What about complaining about the disputes tribunal? So if you've been treated badly or rudely by a member that is hearing your case, you can complain about their behaviour, but it won't lead to a review of your case. And what about if there's a claim against you? So you're the, you know, you. What are your options there? So if someone files a claim against you, you'll get a letter telling you that the claim is about what the claim is about and the date of the hearing. You can either contact the person and try to resolve it, or you can go to the hearing and contest it. You can file a counterclaim. So if you decide to file a counterclaim against the other person, like, for example, if you also have a claim against them, you need to do it as soon as possible. And the process for that is the same as for filing a claim. And you can use the same application form. But you need to include the CIV number from the notice of the hearing so they can link them. If someone does not comply with a disputes tribunal order, you have to give them time to follow the order. But if they haven't followed it, you can apply to the district court to have it enforced. Or if the person owes you money as an employer or receiving a benefit, either party could apply for an attachment order to those people to take it out of their wages or their benefit. But we have, that's civil enforcement. You could order, you could think about recovering debt with a debt collection agency. And you could get your lawyer to write a formal letter. If the order was to do some work by a deadline, you can actually apply to the disputes tribunal to order that they pay you money instead, actually, if they haven't done it. So remember, we have a number of articles on our website relating to all that information we've shared with you tonight, such as what is a disputes tribunal and what decisions can they make, what types of claims can the dispute tribunal hear and what won't they hear, how do I make a claim to the disputes tribunal, how much money does it cost to apply, what do I need to do to prepare, what happens during the hearing? What can I do if I believe the disputes tribunal do not make the right decision? There's a claim against me. What are my options? Can I make a complaint about the disputes tribunal? Yes, so they are all found on our website, www.cab.org.nz. You can also contact CAB here in Dunedin to ask about any of the things we've discussed tonight, or if you just need something clarified that you might have read on our website, or you can actually call us about absolutely anything else you need help with or that you need to know your rights about. You can call us direct in Dunedin on 03471666 or use the nationwide free phone, which is 0800 367 222, but that may be answered elsewhere. You can email us via our website. There's an online inquiry form if you go to our website and then find a cab and contact us, or you can call in at 155 Princes Street. Our hours are Monday to Thursday, 10 to 4, and Friday, 10 to 1. Ngā mihi ki a koutou for tuning in this evening. Thank you, Tāga Access Radio, for hosting us. Kia pai te pō. Have a good evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.